Fairbridge Festival was meant to go ahead this weekend, but a couple of weeks ago we did hear the news that the weekend folk music event had been cancelled. It's run since 1993 and cancelled again this year, having not been held since 2021. This weekend instead, a Fairbridge showcase is going to be taking place at Fremantle Arts Centre, and it's going to be presented by Kaleidoscope Multicultural Arts Management, supported by the festival showcase partner Folk World. And it's exciting to hear that this showcase is happening, especially after we hear the news of cancellations of major festivals all around the country. Splendour in the Grass, Groove in the Moo seeing cancellations, and even last year with Falls Festival. It kind of speaks to a larger situation that's going on in the music industry. It's interesting to hear about, and of course I wanted to know more about what was going on with this showcase and what might be going on in the industry as a whole. And of course we'll learn more about it in the coming weeks as the story starts to make a little more sense with the larger cancellations. But I got the chance to catch up with John Cope, the artistic director for Fairbridge Festival and member of Kaleidoscope Multicultural Arts Management. He talked to me about this wonderful showcase that's being facilitated as a response to the cancellation of the festival that's happening this weekend. But we started off by talking about what his role is within this wonderful showcase that's happening.
So Pam, I wear a few hats. One of them is to be is the director of Kaleidoscope Multicultural Arts Management, which is a 10-year-old arts agency that does work around town, mainly with culturally diverse artists. I also am the artistic director of the Folk World Fairbridge Festival and also currently acting co-general manager at present. So I wear a few hats, but what to do with the showcase is I'm producing and presenting this Fairbridge Festival showcase event.
It's really exciting that this is happening. It's been a few years where we haven't been able to have a Fairbridge, and it's really heartbreaking that that cancellation has occurred again this year. And this is obviously a bit of a pivot and a way to support the artists. But why did you want to put this showcase on after the news or the happening of the cancellation kind of broke?
Well, I think it's very important for the industry to support each other when these disappointing situations happen. The cancellation decision was made by the board, Folk World Board, on the 5th of March and announced on the 6th of March. So by the end of the week, I had been able to contact all the affected touring acts, and some were okay and others were, you know, badly affected by the loss of this kind of festival anchor gig. So I put together a program and researched a whole bunch of venues and just thought it was the right thing to do to support the artists. And the way we structured the show is that pretty much most of the proceeds through a profit share arrangement are being split with all these touring acts.
That's really great to hear, especially the support that's sort of garnered for a showcase like this. And great to hear that it's going to be happening down at Frio Arts Centre. I feel like that's a space to kind of replicate the energy that we often find at Fairbridge Festival itself, which is really, really beautiful. When folks do head down this Sunday, what can they expect when they arrive to the showcase and you know, get a ticket to experience the showcase?
Yes, you're right. The Arts Centre, the Fremantle Arts Centre, is a beautiful venue with a sense of heritage. We'll be outdoors in the front courtyard, which has the beautiful trees and the grass and so on. So it will have that festival feel, even though it's in Fremantle. We've got five acts. We're going to start with Joel Salem and Tristan Cipollata. And the Cipollatas have been coming to Fairbridge since 1996, and they've popped in and out over 30 years. So one of the things about the programming I did for Fairbridge was trying to have a sense of the past plus a step towards the future. So the Cipollatas will bring that sort of old vibe of, you know, in the street clowning and so on, and the music, and they're just very clever guys, very funny. Then we have Shark and Fox, who is an Australian-Canadian collaboration, and Emily Rose Sekova is from Sydney, with and a great accordion player, and Jaron Freeman Fox is an amazing fiddle and mandolin player. But where do these two take it, even though they can do really amazing traditional stuff, they've actually taken it into whole new sort of innovation areas where they're putting the sounds through all sorts of different processes to create something really innovative and new. So it's where tradition meets innovation, but very high quality musicianship. We've also got Gordy Tentry from Jackson Haldane from Canada. These guys have been touring festivals for the last 10 years or so, winning awards and so forth. That's the sort of folky bluesy sort of sound of Northern Canada. And then to finish off the night, we have a wonderful band called Himmeland, who have also been here before, and they're from Denmark in Europe, and they have members from Denmark, Sweden and Scotland, and they wrote their own music, but it's drawn from the traditions of, you know, the Celtic and Scandinavian music traditions. So it's very sophisticated new music, but drawn from that traditional style.
Now, obviously, we are seeing a string of cancellations across the country. We had Splendor in the Grass cancelled recently and lots of other situations where these wonderful and quite beloved festivals are losing out. They're having to be cancelled due to lots of different circumstances. What are you feeling as somebody who works in the industry and watching these cancellations happen?
Well, I do think that the ongoing repercussions of the COVID pandemic, it wasn't something that you could just bounce back to immediately. A lot of organisations may be able to get back up on their feet, but they haven't got strong reserves if they've lost a bunch of festivals over several years. So there's that issue. But the other thing I think is that the ticket buying behaviour has changed and people are a little bit more cautious because things are being cancelled and maybe they're holding back for purchasing their tickets, whereas previously festivals might have been announced and might have sold out in a week. So that's a change in customer behaviour. But we're also seeing, you know, the cost of living in the country at the moment and probably across the world is changing and getting a lot tighter. So perhaps some of the festival models have to be reworked to take those sort of external factors into consideration.
The cost of living crisis is definitely something that I've seen dominate the news cycle in regards to a lot of festival cancellations, and it is heartbreaking and, of course, makes sense that people can't afford to be going to festivals when the cost of living day to day is becoming more and more difficult. And supporting the arts has always been something that I feel like people associate with something additional, but for folks who do work in the arts, it is that everyday bread and butter that keeps them going, and it's heartbreaking when festivals like Fairbridge do get cancelled. Now, there, of course, are systems that we could see change and the ways that punters do engage, like you've said, about ticket purchasing could change. But I'm curious to know what you'd like to see change systemically within governments and support systems for the way that live music exists and the live music industry and artists in general as somebody who works in the industry.
Well, I think we've seen reports that have said how huge the arts industry is to the economy. And yet, when you have things like the pandemic, the government doesn't invest in the culture or the arts. It doesn't provide JobKeeper to artists. And yet, it floods, say, the building industry. And look at what we've got in the building industry. We've got all those collapses and that since. Whereas, say, in Ireland, artists were given the equivalent of a JobKeeper, and I would have thought that in times of crisis, that's when you need your arts and culture, and there should be greater investment in the arts. But seeing the arts as a genuinely, you know, contributing industry to the economy, it's huge. So that's one thing I think would be very helpful.
I think as people kind of come to terms with these cancellations. For folks who love Fairbridge, who were sad to see it go, for folks who were sad to see it cancelled, for the artists who were sad to see it cancelled, how can they get involved with supporting? What kind of things can they do? For folks that are able, that, you know, that have the funds, that have the means to support festivals and gigs in their town, what do you say to them this morning to that they should do?
The arts is very much comes out of a community. I mean, all artists need an audience, whether it's a writer needing a reader, a musician needing a listener. We all need, and really what we're doing here is bringing the community together. So people should step up and, you know, become part of those communities, you know, join the organisation, sign up for memberships, you know, sign up at least for the newsletters and keep in touch with what's going on. Because if people all start coming together, then there's a synergy of all these ideas and energies, and that can grow things again. So I think, let's say, with the example of Feverage Festival, it needs to go back to sort of starting at that community level again, and maybe it's a bit smaller. But it could have a long, you know, four-year plan or something to gradually get bigger. And just great to the artists involved. I mean, a lot of these artists, they don't necessarily make a living out of playing at these festivals. It's like pretty rare, but it's important to come and engage with these. Whether you're performing or not, it's still important to come and support each other and connect. So that's important. We've just seen that report come out and that said that most musicians earn about $6,000 a year, obviously, I mean, you can't live on that. So everybody's got secondary sources of income. So we need to support our artists at all levels, you know, and people hopefully should get out there and get behind that.
For, you know, at risk of sounding simple, but to hopefully yield an answer that I think will be motivating, why do we need to support the arts?
Well, the arts for me, it's about making, it's doing, it's a form of meditation, and I see that in other people. I think it's about that human condition and that human connection, and I think it fills your soul, and it's important.
John Cope, Fairbridge Festival Artistic Director and the Director of Kaleidoscope Multicultural Arts Management, a collective and arts management firm that are putting on a showcase this Sunday with some of the artists from Fairbridge, some really special opportunities to get down and celebrate that festival at the Fremantle Arts Centre. You can find tickets and info and all the things you need to know at fac.org.au.